Car problems can be very frustrating. Have you ever had a car problem that just kept reoccurring? You would maybe be driving along and something would happen and the car wouldn't be running right. And you take it to a garage that you really trust and you talk to the mechanic there. They look at it, they diagnose the problem, they figure out what needs to be done, and so they repair the vehicle like it needs to be repaired. And you come pick it up, and everything's great, and you drive it for a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden, you get in a new situation, and the car starts doing exactly what it did before, and that just keeps happening over and over to you. I think we've all experienced issues like that, especially with vehicles. Sometimes, sins can be like that in our lives. Sometimes, we'll have a sin that we are very aware of in our lives, and we work on it, and we pray about it, and we ask for forgiveness, and we ask God to help us get it out of our lives, and we finally feel like we've mastered it. And then we get in the wrong situation, and all of a sudden, that sin pops back up again. And you just feel like, oh, how did I do that? I thought I had this sin mastered. How is it that it keeps coming back to me? One of the sins that is very much like that is the sin of anger. I want to talk tonight about anger. Anger is a sin that we all deal with to various degrees. Some of us struggle with it a lot, some of us maybe only every so often. But it is definitely one of those sins where even when you think you have it completely mastered, there comes a time where you're in the wrong situation and, oh no, I just said the thing that I didn't want to say because I let my emotions get angry. Anger can be very dangerous. It can do a tremendous amount of damage in a relatively short period of time. Relationships can be broken. Our reputations can be hurt by the words that we speak and by the actions that we do. Sometimes it can lead to even split churches when anger gets out of control, or broken families, or sometimes even physical violence. Anger is an extremely dangerous temptation. It's something that we all deal with, and it's something that we all need to work on. In preparing this sermon, I went through the Bible and looked at all the different times, or a lot of the different times, not every single time, but I tried to look at as many as I could, instances where anger was talked about in the Bible. And there are a lot. When you look at anger through the Bible, God has written us a tremendous amount about that topic from the very beginning of the Bible all the way to the end. I mean, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, all over the place, you see God talking about anger. And you would think that would be because he knows that we as humans really have a problem with that and that we really need to work on it. But what really surprised me in studying this is a large number of those instances of God talking about anger were God describing himself as being angry, where God talks about his anger towards sin. Lots of verses. You can go all over the Bible and see verses where God specifically talks about himself being angry about the sin in the world. And that really brings up the big question. If we serve an angry God, a God who is able to get angry about sin, then what would be the problem with us as his followers being angry? And that's a really good question. Turn over to the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about anger in chapter 4. You see a lot of verses in the epistles about anger. Most of them are telling us not to be angry. This is one of the very few passages in the Bible that actually suggest that we be angry. And I want to read that. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 26. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Okay, so Paul starts out by saying, be angry. He's actually suggesting we should be angry. But then he's putting some restrictions on it. He's saying, do not sin, and don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't be angry for an extended period of time. But then, if we drop down just a few verses here, down to verse 31, Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Well, that's a strange thing. Here we have Paul in just at the towards the beginning of the chapter saying, be angry. And then here, just a few verses later, he says, don't be angry. What's going on here? Why would Paul be saying both these things? When we start to look through the Bible at this topic of anger, we start to see that there's two different kinds of anger. There's the kind of anger that God has, this anger against sin. Angry about when people are doing evil, and it's this righteous anger towards the sin that is in the world. But then there's the anger that we see most frequently with humans, which is the anger for a selfish reason, the anger about self. And you see these different things played out in different ways. You see Jesus, when he was angry, the classic example is Jesus being angry when he saw the money changers in the temple. And he gets his whip and he drives the money changers out of the temple and turns over their tables. And we would look at that as Jesus being very angry. But it was not angry for a selfish reason. It was anger towards sin. This righteous anger. But yet most of the time when you see humans being angry, it's a very, very negative thing. It's a very self-centered thing. It's angry because somebody hurt me. It's angry because I didn't get my way. It's angry because this didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen. It's angry because I'm offended about such and such. That's usually what you see when you look at the different examples of humans being angry in the Bible. And that's why you have James saying, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. While there are times that we can be angry like Jesus was angry, it's so much more often that we as humans become angry for the wrong reason, angry for some selfish motive. So anger can be a very dangerous thing. And what I want to look at tonight is situations where we get angry. Look at what motivates us to anger. Because what I've found is that it's very easy for us to excuse our anger. When we think about the fact there's righteous anger and there's unrighteous anger, many times when we get angry, we want to put ourselves into that righteous anger box. Well, I had a good reason for this anger. And so I'm hoping that tonight, by looking at a few different situations and different things that motivate our anger, we can start diagnosing, okay, am I being angry for a righteous reason? Or, in fact, am I being angry for some selfish reason? This can be very tricky. One scenario that we really have a lot of trouble with this is when somebody does something wrong to me. And I look at that and I feel like, well, it was a sin. I'm going to be angry about sin. And so I get very angry about that and I feel very righteous in that anger because it was wrong. But if I step back and I think about it a little bit more, a lot of times it's not an anger because it was wrong against God. It's a selfish anger. It's an anger because that hurt me. And so that's why it's very tricky sometimes to diagnose, are we being angry for the right reason? God talked to Jonah about this. You remember the story when God spoke to Jonah? And Jonah was there outside looking at the city of Nineveh. And he's waiting for God to destroy the city. And God causes this plant to grow up over Jonah, and it shades Jonah for a while. But then God causes a worm to come, and it bites the plant, and the plant withers, and it dies. And Jonah just gets all angry about this. He just can't stand that this plant has died, and now he doesn't have any shade. And God uses it as a teaching opportunity, and he says, do you have good reason for your anger? And Jonah says, I have good reason even to death. And God goes through, and he shows him that's not a valid reason for your anger. And he points out just how selfish Jonah is there, sitting under that plant waiting for that city to be destroyed. And so we need to ask that same question to ourselves. Do we have good reason for our anger? The first reason that we're going to look at tonight is when I didn't get my way. Sometimes we will get angry because we didn't get our way. An example of this in the Bible is in 1 Kings chapter 21. In 1 Kings chapter 21, we see instance of King Ahab. In preparing this sermon, I went through a lot of different examples of characters in the Bible who had problems with anger. And I tried to go through each of those and figure out what was the reason, what motivated them to anger. And so we're going to be looking at what I consider to be sort of the top five reasons that motivated people throughout the Bible towards anger. And in 1 Kings chapter 5, let's start reading in verse 1. In 1 Kings chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Now it came about after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, beside the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is close beside my house, and I will give you a better vineyard than it in its place, if you like. I will give you the price of it in money." So here Ahab would like to have this vineyard that this man owns right next to his house. And he says, "You know, I'm the king. I can give you another vineyard that's even better. Or if you don't want that, I'll just pay you whatever you want. I can just pay you the money for this vineyard." Verse 3, "But Naboth said to Ahab, 'The Lord forbid me that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers.' So Ahab came into his house sullen and vexed because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, 'I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers.' And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and ate no food." Okay, so Naboth says, "I can't give it to you. It's belonged in my family for a long time, and therefore I'm just not willing to sell it." And Ahab gets really angry. He goes home, and he lays down on his bed, and he won't eat, and he turns his face to the wall, and he says he's sullen and he's vexed. He's very angry about this situation. He wanted to have a vegetable garden, and now he can't have a vegetable garden. And that makes him very, very angry. Well, the great thing about this story is how silly Ahab looks. We look at that, and here's this king laying on his bed looking ridiculous because he's so angry about this vegetable garden, and it's just a vegetable garden. But it's a really good story for shining some light on us. When we think about the times that we get really frustrated because we didn't get what we wanted to get, because we didn't get our way, that can be a real temptation. We tend to be very goal-oriented sometimes, where we really want to accomplish a certain task. And when things start blocking that goal and start standing in our way, it starts getting us more and more frustrated until we start getting angry with people. "Well, I'm trying to get this done, and it's not happening." That can happen in a lot of different circumstances. One is in the church. Sometimes we'll have an idea of how things should be done, or how something we'd like to see the church doing, or something we'd like to see happen. And maybe we even go to the point of talking to the elders about it, and they listen to us, and then they don't do it. And maybe that gets really frustrating. I think the church should be doing such and such, and we're not doing that. And I have a right to be angry because that's a good thing for us to be doing right now, and we're not doing it. And if we take a step back and look at our motives, we find out that's a very selfish reason to be angry. Another instance where we have a problem with this is maybe in marriage, where one spouse wants to do one thing and another spouse wants to do a different thing. And we get very frustrated because we know if we did it our way, it would be a whole lot better. Things would work out a whole lot better if we could just do it the way that we know is the right way to do this. And it gets us very angry sometimes. And when we examine that again, we see just how selfish that is. We're not angry about a righteous anger like God. We're angry because we didn't get our way like we wanted. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, when he's talking about love, love does not seek its own. It's not selfishly motivated. It's not trying to get its way. If we're loving each other, we're going to care more about what other people want and yield towards that. Another area where we can get angry and have a lot of problems is when we're rebuked. This can be a very dangerous one. Turn over to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. This is a story about a king who gets rebuked from a prophet. And we're going to see how he reacts to that rebuke. We're going to start reading in verse 7. At that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eye of the Lord moves to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars." So here's this prophet that comes to the king, and he explains to the king, because you haven't handled the situation the way that God wanted you to, you're going to have wars. When you relied on God, things worked out well, but because you didn't, there will be consequences to your actions. In the next verse, verse 10, then Asa, this is the king, King Asa, then Asa was angry with the seer, and he put him in prison, for he was enraged at him for this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. So the way Asa decided to respond to that is, let's put him in jail. And that's what he does. And unfortunately, when you look through the Old Testament, that was the story of a lot of the prophets. You just see this record over and over again of prophets who went to the people and said, this is what you're doing wrong. This is what you need to change. And rather than repenting, the people attacked the prophets and killed the prophets and put them in prison. And unfortunately, that can be a real danger for us today. When we think about being rebuked, there's just a real danger of handling that in the wrong kind of way. It's very personal when someone comes up to me and says, what you're doing is not right. What you think you should be doing is not what you should be doing. The way you're handling the situation is not a good way to handle the situation. That's very painful. That can hurt us right to our core when someone comes and tells us, you're doing wrong. And many times, we feel like that is a time when we're justified in anger, especially when that rebuke is not brought to us in the right kind of way. Maybe the person who brings it to us does not bring it in a godly way. Maybe they bring it in sort of a sarcastic way, or they're very harsh about it. Or maybe we feel like they're completely wrong. They're just totally, absolutely not correct at all. This is not a reflection of what my life looks like. You think I'm doing this. That's not what I'm doing. You think that's wrong. You're wrong about that. That's not something that's wrong. And sometimes that feels like, oh, well, I have a right to be angry about this. They're accusing me of something I never even did. But when we take a step back and look at that, is that anger for a righteous reason or is that anger for a selfish reason? A really good way to put a spotlight on that issue is to look at the way Jesus handled people. When you look at Jesus when he was on trial, like we just studied, here Jesus was on trial and people were bringing all sorts of false accusations against him. And to the point that they were even hitting him while they did it. And Jesus didn't get angry. He handled that all very, very humbly, even though he knew he was not guilty of a single charge that they were bringing against him. And those charges were not brought in a nice, loving way. They were brought in a very mean, aggressive way. And yet, Jesus humbly handled that rebuke. And that is such a model for us. When someone takes the time to tell us, I think you're doing something that's not right, rather than turning to anger, we need to have the humility to be able to look at that and really analyze what they're saying and make the corrections that might need to be made. As Paul said, love is not provoked. When someone brings a charge against us, it's easy to let that provoke us towards anger. Paul says, that's not loving when we handle it that way. Another instance of this is envy. Envy can be a real subtle motivation towards anger. It can be the kind of motivation that at first we don't really notice, that we might think we're angry about something else, but when we go back and trace it back, we realize maybe I'm angry because I'm envious of this person for such and such. And the example of this is over in 1 Samuel chapter 20. This is King Saul. King Saul had a huge problem with envy and jealousy. King Saul was envious of David. You remember back after David killed Goliath and the women started singing songs about how Saul has killed his thousands, but David is tens of thousands, just honoring David as this great warrior. And King Saul gets really jealous and really nervous. Oh no, if they're honoring David this way, he's going to take my kingdom if they think he's better than me. And you see the rest of Saul's life with this just jealous anger towards David. And it just escalates and escalates and escalates. And in chapter 20, you see just how far it gets. In verse 30 of 1 Samuel chapter 20, this is when David was supposed to come to a feast, and Saul was hoping to get David when he came there. And David doesn't come to the feast. And Jonathan knows where he is, but Saul's trying to figure it out. And Saul turns his anger against his own son, Jonathan. In verse 30, then Saul's anger burned against Jonathan. He said to him, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you are choosing the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Therefore now, send and bring him to me, for he must surely die." But Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said to him, "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" Then Saul hurled his spear at him to strike him down. So Jonathan knew that his father had decided to put David to death. This is an example of how far anger can go, specifically when it's related to jealousy or envy. This problem of envy, where we are jealous of something that somebody else has or who they are, their position. Sometimes it can be their situation. Maybe we are jealous that they have such a nice family and we're envious of that. Maybe it's something at work. You see this happen a lot at work, where one employee will get a promotion and the other employee just looks with jealousy. Why did they get promoted and I didn't? Or why is this person always respected by the boss and the boss doesn't seem to care a thing about me? Why is this person always treated well and I'm not? Why is this person get the fun project to work on but I always have to work on this other stuff? And a lot of times in the workplace, you'll have a lot of this envy going on between employees. And you can have that in all sorts of circumstances, in all sorts of situations. But what we need to do is look at ourselves and ask the question of, when I get angry, does it somehow go back to this cause of envy? In Proverbs 27, verse 4, the proverb writer says, "Wrath is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy?" The proverb writer is just trying to express how dangerous jealousy can become. He talks about how terrible anger is, and then he talks about, but who can stand before jealousy? As Paul says, love is not jealous. That's something where we need to work on our love towards each other. Sometimes we get angry because we are inconvenienced, because things just get frustrating, because things are not working out well. The classic example of this is in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 22. This is the story of Balaam. Numbers chapter 22. The king of Moab hires Balaam to go curse the Israelites. And Balaam was sort of this soothsayer kind of guy that he would curse people for money, apparently. And so the king of Aram hires him to go curse the Israelites. And obviously God did not want the Israelites to be cursed. And so God sends an angel, and it stands in the path where Balaam's traveling along. And for whatever reason, Balaam's not able to see this angel. The angel is standing there with its sword drawn in his hand. And it's such a strange story, because you have the donkey is able to see the angel, but for some reason Balaam doesn't. And so Balaam's riding his donkey along, and the donkey goes off the path. And so Balaam hits the donkey with a stick, and the donkey comes back onto the path and rides a little further. And then the angel stands in a place where there's walls on both sides of the road. And so the donkey goes off the path and scrapes up against the side of the wall. And Balaam starts to get angry, and he hits the donkey again. And so then they travel a little further. And then the angel stands in this spot where the wall is so narrow, there's no way the donkey can get past. And the donkey just lays down on the ground. And Balaam gets so angry, he hits the donkey again. And then the funniest thing happens, where God decides to make the donkey able to talk. And the donkey starts communicating with Balaam. And let's read here. And this is Numbers chapter 22, verse 28. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Then Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a mockery of me. If there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground. So it's one of these stories where we see how ridiculous it is when this donkey starts talking to Balaam, and Balaam responds to the donkey. And the donkey says, "Have I ever done this to you before?" "No, you've never done this to me before. What are you thinking? Why are you hitting me right now?" And Balaam's so angry, he tells him, "If I had had a sword, I would have killed you." And the story is told in such a way to help us see just how ridiculous this man's behavior is, to see that he can get so worked up about this instance and get so angry that he's about ready to kill his donkey. And even when his donkey starts talking to him, he starts talking back to his donkey. And the lesson for us is to be very, very careful about getting overly worked up about these frustrations and inconveniences that come up in our lives. We all have frustrations and inconveniences in our lives. We have difficult days where things are just really busy and they're not going our way, and everything seems to go wrong. And unfortunately, that can get worse and worse and worse until it builds up to a point to where we just burst out at somebody in anger about something. And the reason was, it was all these frustrations that built up over time. Sometimes it's frustrations at a job where things just aren't going well. We're not getting the stuff done that we intended to get done, and it just gets more and more frustrating. Sometimes it's at home when we're taking care of the kids, and the kids are just getting more and more frustrating with all these things. Sometimes it's when we're working with other people and we're trying to talk to people and they're not acting the way we think they need to be acting. There's all sorts of instances where frustration can build and build and build until it bubbles over in anger. And that's something we really need to watch and be careful about. As Paul says, love is patient. If we can learn to become more patient, then hopefully we can handle these frustrating situations and handle them in a loving kind of way. And the final reason that we get angry is when we are personally wronged. And I believe that this is the most difficult of all these five. When somebody personally does something to us to hurt us. The example that I found of this in the Bible, one of the examples, there's actually quite a few examples of this, but one of the examples I found was when David is tempted to go kill Naboth, Nabal, when he's tempted to go kill Nabal. It's a situation where David was running from Saul back when Saul was trying to kill David. And David finds a place where he can kind of hide out for a while. And Nabal is a man who has a lot of sheep. He's a very wealthy man. He has lots and lots of sheep. And he has a lot of sheep herders that are out kind of in the desert area taking care of his sheep. And so David stations himself, at this point David has a small army with him. David stations himself there and kind of kindly protects Nabal's livestock. And so David and his men are just hanging out there and helping out with the shepherds. And after a while, it's shearing time. And in that time, there would usually be some kind of feast that they would have to celebrate the shearing time. And so David asks, well, could you provide a little bit of food for my men since we've been helping you for a while? And Nabal gets all upset and angry and says, well, there's a lot of servants who've run away from their masters recently, and I've never heard of this man called David, and I'm definitely not going to take some of my food and give it to this man named David. Well, David gets so offended by this, and David responds by saying, all right, everyone get your swords out. We're going to go kill Nabal, and we're going to kill his whole family because he's insulted us like this. And to David, he probably felt very, very righteous in this anger. Here's a man who has done something wrong. It is a very evil thing that he has done. He was rude to us. Here we've done all these nice things for him, and he's turned around and acted rudely to us. We're just going to wipe him out right now. And fortunately, Nabal's wife, Abigail, comes out and calms David down and works through the situation. Because we can all look at that situation, we can see David was not right in that anger. He did not need to go kill Nabal because Nabal was rude to him. But this is a real struggle for all of us. When someone does something wrong to us, there's a real temptation to somehow fight back. It can really get us worked up when someone does something against us. And we know it's wrong. We know it was a sin. And we feel very righteous in our anger against that person. But what we need to look at is, once again, the example of Jesus. Jesus had a lot of people do evil against him. A lot of people. Throughout his whole preaching career, you see people mistreating him. But you see it come to a head, of course, at the crucifixion when people are mistreating him. And throughout that whole time, you do not see Jesus becoming angry at those who are sinning against him. We did see instances where Jesus became angry, but that was not anger because of the way they treated him. It was anger because of the way they treated God when the money changers were in the temple. Jesus did not become angry because people mistreated him. And that's a big lesson for us. When people do things against us, we feel like, well, I have a right to be angry because they're so mean. Of course I deserve
to be angry because they've done these things to me. And we need to take a step back and look at it and say, it may have been wrong, it may have been a sin, but that does not mean that I should become angry for them hurting me. And that is a really hard thing to do. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love doesn't take that into account. When someone sins against me, I need to learn to have the love that I don't take that into account. I don't hold that against them in anger against that person. That is a very hard thing to do. Those are the five reasons that I found that many people in the Bible became angry. And I think those are all things that we struggle with to various degrees. In conclusion, I want to just briefly talk about one final example. Way back at the very beginning of the Bible, one of the very first people to ever get angry, as it's recorded, is Cain. When Abel offers that sacrifice, and Cain offers a sacrifice that was not pleasing to God, God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice, but God was not pleased with Cain's sacrifice. And Cain gets really worked up because God didn't accept his sacrifice. And God gives Cain a very timeless piece of advice. God says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And he goes on to say, but if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door for you. If we do well, will not our countenance be lifted up? When we are struggling with anger, we can look to this verse. Rather than dwelling on those things that make us angry, we can follow what God said and do well. Do something good. Do something kind for someone else. Turn our emotions away from the thing that made us so angry and turn it towards something that's loving, something that's kind, something that's helping someone out. And when we can focus on those kinds of things, then hopefully that will help us to get the anger out of our minds. It's a tough topic. It's something that really takes a lot of time and a lot of prayer to work on. As we mentioned in the beginning, the most angry character in the Bible is God. God is very angry about sin. And that is a scary thing for us when we have sin in our lives, thinking about God being angry about that sin. But fortunately, we serve a God who forgives and who is willing to forgive us as we turn away from that sin. And as we repent and we come to him, he is willing to forgive us of those sins. And so, if you have not yet had your sins forgiven, this is an opportunity when you can come forward and you can have your sins forgiven. Or, if you've struggled with anger and you feel like it's of a public nature where you need to have the prayers of the congregation, then this is also a time when you can come forward and have the prayers of the congregation. If you're subject to the invitation tonight,